The fourth word is found both in Matthew's and Mark's Gospels. I'll read Matthew's. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Interesting that this fourth word is the only one of the seven that both Matthew and Mark record in their Gospels. And I don't know what to call this one. What would you call this? A word of what? It's almost beyond definition or description. We could maybe use the word anguish, but I don't think that's even beginning to be sufficient. It's such a stunning thing that Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you stop and think about it, that's an unfathomable mystery to our human mind. It dredges the very depths of an impenetrable inner workings of the triune God. How God can forsake God. Impossible to fathom and understand. It only begins to give us even a faint glimpse of the kind of suffering and agony that Jesus was actually enduring and suffering there on the cross. The real price of our salvation. We talk about and we go to great lengths talking and trying to expound on the physical sufferings of Jesus and how excruciatingly agonizing that must have been. We can't even begin to imagine what it was like for him physically. But this is far worse. Because this is the actual burden of our sins and the sins of the whole world. Every sin ever laid on Jesus and now actually paying the full cost and price of every single one of them. Even one single sin would require eternal separation from God, from the holy, sinless, eternal God who cannot tolerate or be associated with sin. He himself says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And that's what's taking place now on the cross with Jesus. The real punishment of our sins during those 3 hours of pitch black darkness when the sun refused to shine. Because that's the worst part of hell. Being separated from God. And there's no word. I don't care what language you speak. There's no word that can describe or reference that. Only stunning, reverent silence is adequate to comprehend what Jesus endured. The fourth word from the cross. Verse 4.
Jesus undid death on with
from John's Gospel again, the fifth word from the cross, John 19, verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. I am thirsty. Doesn't that seem out of place? Out of context? It's certainly not in keeping with anything else that Jesus has said, I am thirsty? Why this, Jesus? Why are you asking this of all things that you could possibly ask? There were certainly other things that could have been on your mind, certainly should have been on your mind. Such a surprise and unexpected kind of word here too. So why does Jesus say it? Because he is thirsty. More evidence of the fact that what Jesus is enduring is real suffering. And that he is a real, full human being, just like you and me. That what he is enduring is real. It's not a charade. It's not pretense. It's not just like, you know, Jesus is somehow hanging above the cross and he really doesn't feel all this stuff. No, this is real. These are real nails, real thorns, real scourge marks on his back, real thirst that he endures. And real nerve endings. And real pain. And real flesh, just like you and me. Because Jesus is paying the real payment for our sins. But thirst, is that what Jesus really is asking? Yes, and we know why. John says, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled. We are coming now to the end of Jesus' not only life, but all the work that he intended and was called on to do from his heavenly Father. And it is now completed, as John makes the point, so that Jesus now also would fulfill the scriptures. Every single one, even those minutest, almost incomprehensible, tiny prophecies from the Old Testament, like the one that comes from Psalm 22, which we sang shortly ago, when the pre-incarnate Christ says, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death." Psalm 22. And then Psalm 69, "They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." Realize this. Jesus is our absolutely complete, perfect, total, all-sufficient Savior, as God promised he would send. Jesus never took a day off. He didn't go out for any coffee breaks or take a personal day, which in any way would have left something undone. This is the Savior I need, so that I don't have to worry about somehow, you know, maybe I need to do something yet. Maybe there's just one little tiny bit that I need to add. Something to finish it all up. No, with this word from the cross, even this minor detail, supposedly, it's no minor detail. Every single one of them is complete. And Jesus has done it all. Verse 5. The sixth word, also from John's Gospel, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This one, word six from the cross, is probably the most powerful, most profound, most memorable, and meaningful and impactful for every single one of us. Especially because of the fact that there is nothing that we do in this life that ever is or seems to be finished, right? It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, housework or homework or work. It's never done. We never get it finished. There's always something that still has to be done yet, right? But we regret every single day when we go to sleep, place our head on the pillow, we try to fall asleep, and we know there's something yet that we didn't do. That's just a part of our capacity as human beings. We never get it done. But that's especially true when it comes to doing anything in regard to our status before God. We can't do anything in that regard. Only Jesus could say such a thing. Because only Jesus has now finished and completed the sacrifice for our sins. The writer of Hebrews says, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. When this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. That sacrifice for sins was finished. The condemnation that we deserve because of our sins under God's law. As the Apostle Paul says in his letter to the Romans, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because even the sentence that stood against us is taken away. It is finished. And our ability to measure up before God's standards, we've miserably failed in that regard. But Jesus, perfectly in every single aspect, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. It is finished in that regard too. And it's only one word in the original Greek, tetelestai. Tetelestai is the word that was written on tax bills and sales receipts to prove that the transaction was completed. There is nothing else that needs to be paid. And that's what Jesus said, the sixth word from the cross, tetelestai. Meaning that this is the completion of everything necessary for our salvation. And it needed to be said, and maybe that's the reason why Jesus said, I am thirsty. So that he could say it out loud and loudly, that others could hear, because God didn't need to hear that. He already knew. You and I need to hear this. It is finished. Not by us, but by our Savior Jesus. So that especially when the devil comes at our deathbed and tries to convince us that we are not ready. Or when we're filled with despair over our sins, our failures, and our still sin debts and doubts. And on the last day, when everything is brought to an end, then Jesus will say, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. A word of completion. Verse 6.
Holy.
we close with a word of confidence. Jesus closes his life. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Luke's Gospel, 23:46. Jesus' last, final word on this earth before he dies. Not a word of despair, or disgust, or even death. It's one of victory and confidence that again he addresses to Father. All is done. Everything has been accomplished. He has done it all flawlessly. And paradise does await for him and for the thief and all those who trust in Jesus. His body will go to the grave and his soul soar to his Father's side. Because everything has been accomplished. Jesus didn't die because he succumbed to all the things that had happened to him. He gave up his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So that when our last hour comes, we can use that same word of Jesus, the seventh one from his cross. Because Jesus has promised. We will stand before not an angry judge, but our gracious Heavenly Father, blameless and confident of sins forgiven because of Jesus. That's why these seven words are so special and important and impactful and memorable and meaningful. Thanks be to God for Jesus, his own Son, our Savior and substitute. Verse 7.
Jesus.